Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Hello, good evening, good afternoon, good morning. Welcome to my show. This is Jana with the Success Strategy Show. Welcome, welcome everyone. Grand rising, if you're rising. This is the Success Strategy Show with me, Jana, on the Female Solution Worldwide Radio and TV Network. I'm the author of Success Strategies for Black People, and I host the annual Blogging Carnival for Nonviolence. And I'm your host for today and on the first Saturday of every month. Here on the Success Strategy Show, every month, we seek to help you and support you to find solutions to your problem. We're here to help you make 2022 your best year yet. To speak with my guest, and if you have any questions for my guest, please phone in on 515-605-9325. Then press 1. If you're outside of the United States, you have to put 001 in front of that number. So it's 001-515-605-9325. And then press 1 to speak to me, the host. You can also join us on Facebook at The Female Solution and on YouTube at The Female Solution. My guest today is Octavia Towns, and I am very excited to have her on my show. She's had an encounter with the criminal injustice system, as I call it, so she's going to tell us all about it. I'm not going to say much about her story because I'm going to allow Octavia to tell her story. Her story and also the story to do with her son. I'm just going to see who's on the line. Hello?
Yes, well, this is Naima, and I have Octavia here on Facebook Live. And if you can give us a moment, we're going to take a quick break so I can bring her in to tell her story and give people a chance, if they're listening online, if they want to join this conversation, to give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to let our host know you have something to say. And we'll be right back after this short break with our guest today, Octavia Towns. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
female solution local radio TV show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, self-care with Zelda. Thursdays, Debbie Green. And Fridays,
thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God.
Tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central. Today, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sunday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the...
I can go out there, dog. It's too late.
And we are back. We are live with Octavia Towns. And Octavia, you are live with our host, live from London, England, Jana.
London, England.
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Absolutely. So,
praises and glory to God.
Yes, indeed. So we are so pleased.
Thanks for joining us. You're welcome.
And Jana, can you hear her okay?
Say hello. I'll tell you. Hi, Octavia.
Thank you. Oh, my God. Thank you.
I can hear you now. Yeah. Welcome to my show. Welcome.
Oh, praise him. Oh, my God. You is a blessing. I'm going to cry. Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, I told you, you're quite enthusiastic about being on today to tell your story, which, you know, and it's very significant because Jana did a major expose on her show several months ago. There is a lot of injustice in the United Kingdom, over in London, England, and other places over in Europe, just like it is in America, a lot of race-based injustice.
Wow.
And we know that our problem isn't just local. It is global. But difficulty is when you're up against the legal system, and they have all the money and all the influence and all the power to tell your story in a way that makes you look wrong. So we want to use this platform to give you a voice to tell it the way it really happened.
That's right. That's right. So welcome to my show. Okay, I'm not going to say too much about your story, Octavia, because I'm going to just let you tell your story, yeah? Before I say anything, where are you back,
Octavia? Okay, so, Octavia, maybe you can begin with... Because this has been 9 years that your son, Stephen Douglas, has been serving time. And you have been fighting all that time to get the truth of what happened on that night. He was accused of taking someone's life. And now, of course, we want you to tell what happened and then how your son ended up implicated in a murder.
Okay, you ready?
Yes. So it was 9 years ago. What happened?
Okay, great. Okay, see, first of all, my loved one been wrongfully and condemned. His civil rights, everything was taken away. He had an unfair trial. Stephen Douglas' state and civil rights were totally violated. He was denied a right to a fair trial. And his trial counsel was ineffective. His name was Frank Couture, the lawyer that I had hired. His counsel was very ineffective. He didn't let us put no witnesses on the stand. And then with this situation that's going on with Stephen Douglas, it happened back in 2000. Stephen Douglas was the first human service at the time that he was wrongfully convicted for his mother, Michelle Harvey. And when he was working for Michelle Harvey, he also was working with me at Advocate Hospital as a janitor. He had two jobs at 21 years old, being his mom home care provider. That's what Stephen Douglas was, his mom home care provider. He went away to school to college in Atlanta.
So Octavia,
but when he heard that his mom's illness got worse.
Okay, so Octavia, yeah. before you continue, I want to make sure I have your relationship right. So you were, are you aunt or?
Yeah, I'm the aunt.
Aunt,
Stephen,
okay.
Is, yeah, this is my sister.
So your sister,
yeah, she just died.
Okay.
Yeah, trying to free him, she died. Yeah, she just died. So as I was saying, everybody think I'm the mom because I'm the only one that's standing out there because she can't get around. She just passed on trying to fight with me, now to free her son. And like I said, Stephen was in college down in Atlanta. He had went down there to sign up for college. But when her condition got worse, I was working at Christ Advocate Hospital. I couldn't take care of her. So he came back up here to take care of her. And as he was taking care of Michelle, he was working for the Department of Human Services. And he was taking care of his mother. And I got my job at Christ Advocate Hospital with me. And Stephen was going to school to play ball. He graduated out of high school. He did it all. Stephen's dad got murdered to the streets of Chicago, unsolved case. His brother got murdered to the streets of Chicago, unsolved case. And then Michelle Harvey's only last son that's left is Stephen Dustin, just for her health fail. Because her husband got murdered, and then his oldest brother got murdered, and them is unsolved cases to this day. And Stephen is wrongfully convicted of a murder that he once never committed. And then they came and got Stephen 12 months later for questioning. The officers called Michelle Harvey because Stephen was at my house at the time. And Michelle called me and said, some detectives is here, U.S. Marshals, looking for Stephen. She said, just for questions. And she stayed like about 10 minutes away from me exactly. Because we went to my house to wash and dry. I washed and dried Michelle's clothes at my house because she didn't have a wash and dryer. So when we went to her house that afternoon for questioning, there was two officers standing in the street. And they seen us. They let us go upstairs to her apartment. They didn't say anything to us. They looked at his neck and said, oh, yeah, that's him. The guy said he had a tattoo. Now, keep in mind, the guy that lied on Stephen, he had got caught, which they call a banger. So the officers gave him a deal. If you give us somebody that you can put a body on, we'll release you and let you go with what he got caught with. So that's how Stephen's name got threw up in it, because he had a clean record in the street to this day. Y'all can look him up. He never, ever had one incident with the officer, not one time, ever. So when they came to his mom's house, they looked at his neck in the living room, and the officer lady told the guy officer, yeah, that's the tattoo that they said on his neck, the guy that we had brought in earlier for questions. So I said, excuse me, what's going on? They never did read no right. So Michelle said, I have MS, and I want to know what's going on. She said, because my son works for me. And they said, well, we just taking him to 51st and Wentworth Police Station in Chicago, Illinois, just for questioning. I said, well, can I come with him? They said, no, ma'am. He will be right back after we just ask him a couple of questions. Never was no right read, none of that. They told him to turn around, walk down the stairs. So I said, well, let me come behind y'all to my own car. They said, no, ma'am, no need for that. He'll be back. Mm. If we just bring him for questioning. A young man we picked up earlier, you know, we just want to ask him some questions. So they went on out the door with Stephen. So we sat there all day at Shell House, no phone call. So I went on home. I get the phone call from Stephen saying he locked up in Cook County Jail in 26th California. I said, wait a minute. How? So I'm running around crazy trying to find a lawyer. So I went to the currency exchange in Chicago, Illinois on Western, like around that area. It's the currency exchange. And I seen an old friend of mine. And he was saying that he was in there getting a money order for his son that was locked up. I said, wait a minute, Mr. Dirt, I need a lawyer. I said, because my loved one just got falsely accused yesterday, and And he's in 25th California. He said, well, I got a good lawyer named Frank, but I don't know if he, you know, can help you, but you can try. So I called Mr. Frank Couture, 17 North Wabash, and I said, look, sir, I wrote two jobs at the school and hospital. Can you help me? My loved one went in yesterday for questioning, and they said he'll come back home. He never did. So he said, well, meet me tomorrow at my office. I can set up a payment plan. And that's what I did. I caught the train down there and parked my car and gave him $500 in cash. I paid him $20,000. That's all he charged me for to take the case. But by me not knowing no better that a case like that, you being wrongfully convicted of a murder, by me not knowing that $20,000 was so cheap, I didn't know because I never experienced it before. But when Frank Couture told me $20,000, I was excited thinking, okay, I can afford that. Like, that was a good deal, but all the time, he jugged us. So, make a long story short, he only went and visited Steve in Cook County out of 4 years he was there, only two times. And I paid him every time to go see Steven to check on him, make sure he okay, all right. Frank kept telling us the ball was in our court. Then Frank told us that the guy that they caught up with, the officer before they came and got Steven, he had a bank. They told him if they give up somebody, if the guy that they called him. So that's how Steven got caught up in this lie. The guy told them that Steven did a crime, but he can get a lesser sentence. And sure enough, the guy's out of jail right now to this day. There was two of them. Matter of fact, both of them is on the run right now to this day. I hired a private investigator. The private investigator, about 3 months ago, went down there to both of the states where the two guys right now is hiding and said that they want to come and tell the truth.
Hello?
But they prayed for the officer that made them lie on Steven. And
Hello?
We got one proof. Then the judge gave him 55 years to life.
Well, hold on, just one second. Hold on just one second. Let me make sure we're following this. Jana, did you get disconnected or are you still on?
No, I don't know if you can hear me because I put some questions that I want to ask my guest. But this is kind of started the story in the middle, so I'm saying, hold up, because let's start from the beginning. But I wasn't sure if you could hear me.
Okay, well, hold on. Let me make sure. Yes, let me turn up the volume on the device that you're on. Okay, hold on.
Bye.
Hi, can you hear me?
Okay, so now, can you hear her, Octavia?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am, I think I can.
Okay, so, Jana, I've turned up the volume on the phone connection that you're on. Now, I need you to turn up the volume on your voice so that our guests can hear you.
Hello?
Octavia, she has some questions to ask.
Can you hear her now? If you can hear me.
Okay, so I'm gonna hang up the other phone so we don't get feedback. Okay, so Jana, can you hear me now?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you fine. Okay.
Okay, lovely. Because I'm gonna ask you some questions, Octavia. I wanted to know what happened from the beginning. So the first question I had for you was, are you based in Chicago?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Can you hear me?
I can't hear.
You have a little bit of background noise, Octavia. I'm not sure if there's a fan going or what it is, but you got a little bit of background noise.
No, just some people in the background talking.
Okay, they need to
but
not talk.
On the back porch.
Yeah, they, if there's a way you can move
okay,
away
I'm
from
go
them.
I'm going to go outside.
So that,
I'm going to go outside because you hear them in the background.
Yeah. And then
I'm good.
Okay, so what Jana wants to know, there was an incident that happened that kicked all this off. That's what wasn't told, so it was kind of unclear. I know the story, but I know what parts are missing, the reason why she didn't have the whole story. So something happened that caused the police to come and investigate. That's the part that we didn't get. We didn't get the beginning. That's what Jana was asking. Is that right, Jana?
The first question is based in Chicago.
Are you based in Chicago?
Yeah, Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
And so when did the incident happen? You said it was 9 years ago?
Okay, so Viata's saying she can't hear you. I'm trying to figure out how do we get your volume higher. Put your phone on. Well, you're on Direct Connect though, so we're on your computer speaker.
Yes, yeah, so basically, I'm really hoping there's no echo. So catch up with loud.
Yeah, we need to turn up your volume some because our viewer just said she can't hear you.
Okay, well, let me see if I turn up the volume a little bit, but otherwise, because I've got my earphones in, I'm trying not to damage my hearing. So
okay.
I might have to unplug this, but what I'm concerned about, there might be an echo. Just bear with us. Okay, I've turned it up now. Can you hear me? Beata, you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. Can Octavia hear me? Octavia, can you hear me?
Octavia, can you hear her?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Excellent. Okay, so the first question I would ask is, where are you from, Chicago? Second question is, when exactly did this happen? You said something about 9 years ago?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
This happened in 2014. When Stephen got wrongfully convicted, and they came and got him 12 months later for questioning, they said, for hearsay, it was a guy that got shown beat to a seizure by multiple people. Multiple people was named in the news report, everything.
Hang on.
One of them people did one day in jail. One day, but they came and got Stephen 1 year later off the hearsay.
So let me make sure. Have this correct. In 2014, there was an incident where a young man was attacked by a mob of people. Basically, that's what happened. He was beat up, and that was in 2014. So you're saying 12 months later, after the incident, the police came to talk to Stephen, and they said they were bringing him in for questioning. Had the young man who was attacked, had he passed away? Had he died? What happened?
Yeah. Why he was getting beat and stomped into a seizure? They said that somebody pulled out a gun and shot him in the neck.
Oh, so he was shot to death.
Right.
There was 13 or 14 people stomping and beating him at the same time.
So he was being beaten.
The young man
and then he was
got shot in the neck.
And did he die shortly after that, or was it some time that passed?
They said he died shortly after that.
Okay, but then how come it took 12 months for them to question someone?
Okay, first of all, it took them 12 months to come because the guy that was allegedly, that was helping beat the young man, they found him, they caught him with a banger. That's what the first lawyer said. Let me know. He said, well, I'll tell you, you're right about something. The guy got caught with a banger.
And what's a banger for those who don't know?
A banger means a gun.
Okay.
And that's what made him lie on Stephen. There was two guys got caught with weapons. And both of them lied on Stephen to this day. But now they want to rekindle the story. But check this out. Both of them out of jail right now. Lying on Stephen, and they said in court, in trial, they didn't even want to come to court in trial and testify against Stephen. They was forced out of state. They did say that. And do you know, Stephen, the judge, 55 years to life, showed it. 55 years to life, never no weapon to this day. No weapon. None of that. But all these people were named. They stomped and beat the young man to a seizure and then shot him in the neck. They didn't do one day in jail. But then 12 months later, when two of the guys put guns on them,
the 51st and Winburg Police Station, let them go for lying on me. Stephen had a clean record. Yeah. So,
so
this month, what, 2 months ago, I hired an investigator, family, out of 9 years, because Stephen's mother, I've been taking care of her. Now, she done passed away trying to help me free him, and she just passed away May the 16th. And now she left a four-year-old baby behind, so now I got the baby also. So the creator had me really working for my sister. Yeah.
Okay, so Octavia?
I mean, just understand the system that's here. How can y'all not go get all these people?
So Octavia.
Now, one time.
So Octavia, before we take a break, our host has another question for you. So, Jana, you were about to ask her another question.
Yeah, sorry, because I'm trying to talk to you, Octavia, because I'm very interested in your story. I don't know if you're hearing me. My question is, so what evidence did they go on? Was it just the hearsay from these two guys? Is that the only evidence?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
oh,
ma'am.
Oh, my goodness. So they took him off the questioning.
Yes, ma'am.
And,
it's
from these two men.
Oh, what was the question, Jana?
I can't hear.
What was the question?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, we hear you now.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, can you hear us? Yes, we hear you. Yes.
Dial in, I think. It's the only way this is going to work. I'm going to have to dial in. Let's take a break. Yeah, let's take a break.
We're going to take a break and kind of restructure our audio system here.
You are tuned in to the Soulful Chicago Book Fair 2020 Vision Fundraising Campaign. That's right. You can support the vision of reviving Black literary excellence in this city by simply taking your $20 or more and donating it on our website. Visit www.soulfulchicagobookfair.com and click the Donate tab on our homepage or give us a call at 646-359-6600. And we welcome you, helping us breathe literary life into the South Side of Chicago.
What happens when a group of people are kidnapped from their homes, smuggled away in chains, and held captive in a foreign land where they are tortured, raped, and forced to perform hard labor by the lash of a whip and under the constant threat of death? Slavery. The African-American psychic trauma. What happened to the doctors, writers, scientists, builders, educators, and spiritual leaders from Africa's golden age? Who did they really capture and sell into slavery? Are all African-Americans suffering from psychic trauma because of a conspiracy to hide their true identities? Do you have psychic trauma? Take the test on page 22 of the book and see. Order it online today at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. And get your personally autographed copy of the book, Slavery, the African American Psychic Trauma.
Okay. Jana, I'm going to play a couple of other commercials. I need to make a few adjustments.
Okay.
And I'll be right back after these messages. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. And press 1 when you're ready to speak. That'll light your number up on our switchboard, and we can open your mic and get your comments. So we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week,
sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and, of course, Black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex. Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three Black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Oh, excellent. Well, I'm back on the, I'm on my phone because no sound is coming out of my speakers at all now. So I'm back on the phone. But there you go. That's technology for you. I'm just going to see who's on the line because we've got a caller on the line. Area code 773. Have you got something you'd like to share or have you got a question for my guest? Area code 773. Okay. If you don't want to ask a question or make a point right now, that's
okay.
Fine. When you're ready to, just press 1, and you'll be in the queue to speak. Okay, Octavia, so here's what I would like to know. Welcome back. By the way, my guest today is Octavia Towns, and she's talking about her encounter and her son's encounter with the criminal injustice system. So, Octavia, my next question is, on what evidence were they questioning him in the first place? Was it the evidence from these two guys?
You know, her oh, she just dropped. Let's see if we can get her back. Hold on.
Okay.
Yes, we're trying to get Octavia back. You know, while we're trying to get her back online, you know, it's a very common thing for, unfortunately, for those in the criminal justice system, those who are entrusted with justice, to give a deal to somebody who's currently serving time in order, you know, to get them information.
Mm.
And naturally, if you're told that you will be given a lesser sentence or even given parole, you finger somebody else, you know, that's a great incentive to lie, you know, to say if it means saving your own skin. So the unfortunate
thing, get you off, then, you'll lie. Yeah.
You know,
these
stories aren't even checked. It's just like, oh, okay, well, we got somebody now, and that's enough. And
but there's no evidence. How can I convict someone with no evidence apart from hearsay? I mean, and it's not the first time I've heard this kind of story. There's a lady I've been writing about, actually, many years ago. She came from the Caribbean. She was living in New York City, and she had some bad luck, and then she fell in with some bad people. And she was accused of a grisly, grisly murder.
Oh, my.
Of a pregnant woman. Right, and these two guys, who probably the two guys who actually committed it, right, they actually took the baby outside of the woman, and the woman died. because they want, I don't know why they wanted the baby, but they said, oh, we've heard her say that she wants another child, so she's the one that did it. Well, just because somebody wants another child doesn't mean they're going to go and attack a pregnant woman. I mean, come on.
Right.
And there's no physical evidence there, but when I heard the story, she was on death row. Now, I don't know what's happened since then, but I think it was on TV because she was British national. Although she was from the Caribbean, she was a British national, and she was living in New York. So, as I said, she'd have some hard times, but nothing like this. And she ended up on death row, accused of murdering someone. She didn't, you know, as far as we know, she had nothing to do with it. So it's quite shocking. I can understand if people want to lie, but then you have to get proof, don't you? Don't you have to investigate and get evidence?
Well, allegedly. I mean, that's what we assume, but that's not always what happens. I think we've got Octavia back now. So, Octavia, we had a question. Jana wants to know, was that the only evidence they had was the hearsay of these two men? That was it? Nothing else? Oh.
Hi, Octavia. Are you there?
So, Octavia, her screen keeps freezing. So, Octavia, is that the only thing they had? The only thing the prosecution had was the testimony, the hearsay evidence of these two men, nothing else linking Stephen Douglas to the crime scene or the weapon or anything? It was just on the strength of those two men who were currently serving time. That's the only thing they had? I think her screen is frozen.
We lost her again. Okay, if anyone, if you've got questions for my guest, or if you've got a story to share, have you had a bad experience as well with the criminal injustice system? If so, please phone in. Or if you have questions, if you've got something that you want to know, if you want more clarification, the number is 515-605-9325. And if you're outside of the United States, you need to put 001 in front of that. So that's 001-605-9325. And if you want to speak to me or you've got a question for my guest, just press 1 and you'll be put through. You'll be in the queue. So I'm talking today with Octavia Towns. She and her son had an encounter with the criminal injustice system. And that was 9 years ago, I believe, and it's still continuing to go on. So, yeah, we're just talking to Octavia today and hearing her story.
There was a convention, the Rainbow Push annual convention. They had a section in the convention where they had testimonials from a number of women who had similar situations with the criminal justice system wrongfully convicting their loved ones, and then the kind of the torture that was happening behind the scenes in these cases, and really the kind of just blatant disregard for justice. It was appalling. I'm going to see if I can pull up a bit of this during the show and show a bit of it. You know, the question is always, what can we do about it? When lawyers lie, when judges comply, and we can't find out why, but somehow who has nothing to do with a crime ends up doing time.
Yeah, and you know, as I'm sure you know, there's a huge exonerations, movement now. Many, many people have been exonerated, especially since people started using DNA evidence to revisit old cases. And I've seen one exonerations case where, a group So there are different groups all over the U.S., and there's a group in the U.K. as well. And I've seen a case where, one of the groups was saying you have to have been incarcerated for 10 years before they will even look at your case. So that means you've been in prison for 10 years for doing something that you didn't do, for committing a crime you did not commit. And the reason why they have to do that, I'm assuming, is because there's such a demand. There's such a demand that can't actually keep up with the demand because there's so many people who've been wrongly convicted, and mostly men, but some women as well. People from, a lot of them are black, but then a lot of them are not black, from different races, different cultural backgrounds, and so forth. And so that means you have to have been in the prison system, in a prison, for 10 years before they would even look at your case. Such is the demand. But I believe it started, the whole exonerations movement, I believe, started in Chicago, if I'm not mistaken. It started at Northwestern University. That's in Chicago, isn't it?
Yes, well, you know, we had a huge case here. Matter of fact, a friend of mine who was wrongfully convicted out of Peoria, Illinois, Johnny Savory, and his case is historic because he actually began, his case led to them using DNA evidence to prove.
Okay.
But he served, 30 years.
Oh, my gosh.
He was 14 years old when they convicted him of murder. They wrongfully convicted him, and it turned out that it was an older adult who had committed the crime and framed him to cover up some other things that were happening, such as sexual assault. So it was really a horrible situation.
Mm-hmm.
But he ended up doing 30 years, so, of course, when he finally got released from prison, of course, you know, he's a grown man, missed his whole childhood and everything, and he's been on the show before to talk about it.
Right.
What we found out was that there were a lot of people who have been convicted out of hearsay, no evidence, just, you know, police testifying or somebody that the police get to testify, and then that are, okay, well, we found our person, that's it. And somehow the juries end up convicting these people, even though there's no evidence, or
that's
even
it.
There is no jury trial, and these people end up getting convicted. And a lot of times the reason that someone's pushing for a conviction, either maybe a district attorney is trying to accelerate their political career, you know, and
that's
and
something,
so,
yeah.
Of convictions, they don't care if the person's innocent or not. They just, you know, I need a conviction for my record.
Yeah,
so that's,
yeah, exactly. They want to improve their statistics, right?
Yes.
Their stats, or their conviction rate. So they'll just convict anyone, and it's really horrible what happens. But then there was the case of Walter Stinney, who was executed when he was 14 years old because he supposedly raped this little white girl. And they knew that he hadn't done it, but they convicted him. They sentenced him to the electric chair.
Oh, that's horrible.
14 years old. They had to actually make him sit on telephone books because he was too small.
That is horrible. That is the most horrible thing. So Octavia's back with us. Octavia, can you hear us now? I think you're someplace where your reception
is
better.
I don't know what happened. I left out the house because of the background noise.
Yeah,
and I went on the porch.
Signal, yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, well, you know, depending on where you are in the house, you know, sometimes that'll determine how strong your internet signal is. So
yeah,
that's
unfortunately,
where you're at. So stay right there. So now
I've got two people. I've got two callers with their hands up. So I'm going to let them in. The first one is area code 314. Welcome to the show. What's your name? Area code 314. What's your name?
Hello. This is Pianki. How you doing, Naima?
Hi.
I'm wonderful. And you're on live with Jana from London and our guest, Octavia Towns, who's aunt of Stephen Douglas, who was wrongfully convicted of murder. And I'm sure you
I'm sorry to hear that somebody get wrongfully convicted.
But it happens
sometimes
every day.
Serves
I mean, it's
me.
But it happens every day.
Yeah, well, there's some that get wrongfully convicted. There's a lot that don't get convicted at all.
Mm.
But the thing that kind of irks me a little bit is that people look at these situations as if they all come under one dictum. They don't. They are relegated where they occur. You know, the United States consists of 50 countries, often called states, and each one has their own peculiarities. And it's just not about black people. Whites go through the same thing, too. And that's where the injustice comes in, because we make it seem, and some people talk about it, like it just happened to blacks. That's just not true.
No, it's not just black people. I did say that. It's people from different races.
Well, I'm not saying you said
it.
I'm saying that's what I have heard.
Yeah,
but
okay.
You
that's
think
what I
that,
said, but can I just interrupt you? Because there's a disproportionate number of black people in prison, and there's a disproportionate
You got a lot
of
black people that disproportionately put themselves in a position where they can be criminalized. And we talk about that, too. And one thing I hear in the discussion is pretty accurate. It goes back to the family and the home. That has to be straightened out first, place, and of all. So when you are disproportionately putting yourself in a predicament where you can be criminalized, what outcome is going to be what it's going to be? But that's just the – and the only thing I can say is that you just got to work to try to prevent those things from happening. And you may mention about DNA evidence. Yeah. At the time, a lot of these, some people like to go back in history where they didn't have the technology that they have today. The Central Park Five, they didn't have the use of DNA technology back during that time. But nobody talks about the Forest Park Five that occurred in St. Louis with five black males who, you know, did something to a white male. So you got a lot of things that go on here. You got the news, which is corrupt. You got corrupt police officers and corrupt prosecutors. Look at what Kim Fox is going through there in Cook County, Illinois. DeSantis just removed a prosecutor because he would not prosecute cases where it was quite evident that the law was being violated. So all these things go on.
So, sorry, what was the person's name that you just mentioned?
The Governor DeSantis in Florida.
No, I thought you were talking about a case in Cook County.
Oh, you
no,
mean
I
the,
said,
and the five people in St. Louis. What was the details on that?
That was the Forest Park Five in St. Louis. You never heard of that, have you?
I haven't heard
no,
of the
I haven't, no.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. And you talk about Jalen Roof, the white kid that went into in South Carolina, but nobody talks about Emmanuel Solomon, who went into an all-white Nashville church and shot up and killed people. Nobody talks. You ain't heard about that because you're being bamboozled by a corrupt news system that put narratives out there to do assortment of things, and they lie.
Right. But did you know, because not only is there a disproportionate number of black people in prison in the United States, but in Britain, it's even more disproportionate. The number of black people in prison is even more disproportionate than it is in the United States. And, you know, we have these miscarriages of justice as well, and people dying in police custody as well. And we've talked about that before on this show. And also on the Global Peace, you know what? I'm always forgetting what we call it. The Global Peace Forum. We had we had the director of Injustice on there. And we showed the film.
I can't speak on Britain.
Not all of those people were black. But six out of seven of them were black.
Well, I have
a
question. I have a question. Pianca, you mentioned people putting themselves in a position to be criminalized. What I've seen isn't so much what position you put yourself in, it's just being in a state where you don't have the money for good legal representation. That's the only denominator between all the different people, whether they're black or white or Hispanic. It's those who don't have money to get a good lawyer to come up with the evidence that shows that they were innocent. And generally, if you don't have a lawyer that advises you of your rights and knows how to convince a jury based on evidence, then you could easily get convicted even if you did nothing wrong. I mean, Octavia's talking about her nephew who had no run-ins with the law, you know, and he would say, well, he must have been running with the wrong crowd. Well, what is the wrong crowd? You know, even
right.
if you have friends and they happen to fit a physical profile, that's not your fault. If other people are assumed to be criminal, they may not be either. But just because some people knew him because he lived in the neighborhood doesn't mean he put himself in a position to be criminalized. They just knew to finger somebody so that they could get out of jail. And that's what they did. They came up with a name.
There's a fear of black men.
They had an identifying
card. Somebody done me like that once before, too. A person that I grew up with was being interrogated, and they was asking him, well, who was the other person with you? And he just thought of my name and gave my name.
Mm-hmm.
So
it happens.
Those things do happen.
Same thing happened with David.
Yeah. So
he was working two jobs, Department of Human Service and Christ Hospital.
So yeah. Then but he was at work at the time where the attack on the other young man happened. Is that... I mean, is that where he was at?
He was attacked. Stephen was like 10 blocks away at the basketball court. And we had...
Right.
But affidavits, we still get affidavits to this day that our first lawyer never once presented in the courtroom.
This is the thing. If you don't have money, you might get a lawyer who's rubbish.
And
some of these cases that were being investigated at Northwestern, some of these cases that were arrested in Northwestern, they were being investigated by students. And the students read the transcript, and the judge would be telling the lawyer, wake up, wake up, because the lawyer is falling asleep.
Call me when I'm at home the last court day and tell me that the state ready tomorrow. And guess why the state was ready? Because they brought the two guys out of a prison that originally lied on Stephen, and they didn't want to come to court in the first place. They did admit it. We didn't even want to come from our jail to come and lie on Stephen. We already lied on him. Now they done brought us from our cell to come and see him in trial, face to face, and tell a lie.
So they repeated the story that he had been there and he had done the killing.
And they out of jail to this day, and they admitted in the court, I ain't even want to come to court. They made them come and stick with their lie to this day.
So, Jana, you had a question. You were asking, Jana.
I was just saying that these cases, when the exonerations first started, it was children, it was university students who were investigating them in their free time, right?
Yes.
They were getting people acquitted in their free time, and sometimes they'd be listening, for example, or I don't know if they're reading a transcript, and the judge would be telling the lawyer, the defense attorney, wake up, because the lawyer would be asleep in the courtroom.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Well,
that's the group that got Johnny Savory exonerated, and they called the Innocence Project, where they were
reading the
transcript. They would see inconsistencies.
Okay.
They would see where evidence wasn't presented. But these were students, and they were using, like you say, their time as students to research these cases where people had wrongfully convicted.
Hang on a second, please. Can you hang on a second, please? Because I've got a couple callers on the line.
So, Jana, she was saying that after the state had presented its so-called evidence of these two men testifying, her lawyer, what, didn't cross-examine, didn't present any other evidence?
I heard that. They had affidavits that their lawyer never presented. This is what I'm saying. How can the lawyer be presenting evidence when the lawyer's asleep? Well, I'm not saying their lawyer was asleep, but that's an example of what has happened.
Yeah.
The defense attorney is asleep, and the judge is telling the lawyer, wake up, wake up.
Yeah. So it's like the lawyer doesn't care what happened.
I've got a couple. Well, he's not going to care that much, is he, if he's asleep? I mean, come on. Anyway, I've got a couple of callers on my line with their hands up, so I'm going to let them in.
Thank you so much, Bianchi, and we'll come back to you if we can. Area code 773-263, your mic is open.
Yes, this is Rashida. I just want to say that, thank you. I just want to say that I remember something that Dr. Martin Luther King said a long time ago. He said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And the reason why I'm saying that is because here in America, the white people make the laws for all of us. We have people, legislative representatives that does take the issue and make it and ban it into law. But when it comes to us, we don't organize and put pressure on our representatives to get legislation that affects us. So, for example, if a white boy here in Illinois who killed a few people, and he was tried in Edison, Illinois, and he was let go, consultation and therapy. So, in our cases, I think we're talking about reparations and all the injustice of slavery and psychological effects of it, but we don't think about the healing process. And to make laws that govern our behavior and our doings and where we could finally get some justice, we don't lobby for it. Because all the laws that I know of was pressured and organized and lobbied and legislated for the white people, by the white people, and we follow on the guidelines of it. But constitutionally, as I remember, it says that we aren't a full human being. So in order to be total, I think that we should totally get together and start the healing process by legislating for some issues that would heal us. Because internationally, the threat to justice is there, especially on people of color. So
that's very true. Don't think we're talking about it
unless we're going to do something about it. And this is a land of laws, and there's rules of law. We don't stand for ourselves. When in the white people neighborhood here in Chicago, one child gets killed, everybody is going to get together and they're going to pressure the issue about the murder or the injustice. We don't want to hear about it. Don't want to think about it. Just let it be. The same day that a white child got killed, a black child got killed, and they got together about the issue and under the guidelines and the rule of law, did something about it. So to us, to me, it seems like we accept that three-fifths of a human being instead of being total, because we don't even want to be total when it comes to things that happen to our own children, to our own people, to our own community. You know, and that's not good. And that's, to me, that's a psychological effect of slavery. I don't care how educated or disciplined we might be. If we don't stand up and put pressure on our legislative bodies to make laws and rules of law that governs our behavior and our doing, that's what I think. And it's absolutely
Thank you for that. I mean, there's a lot of healing going on.
Yes, thank you. I hope
thank you very
you
much.
Better over there in your country.
Say that again.
I said, I hope you all do better over there in your country.
Yeah, well, so far that's not happening because I'm hoping that this will change. But at the moment, as I said a little while ago, proportionately, there are more black people in prison in Britain than there are in the United States. Right? The United States is one of the countries in the world that lock up the most people. And in terms of black people, Britain is even more disproportionate than the United States in terms of putting people in prisons, imprisoning people. So we got a ways to go. We got a ways to go. I've got two more callers on my line with their hands up, so I'm just going to let them in.
This right. Take a quick break, Jana, before we got to take another quick break, and then we come back to 646-963. If you can hold on. We got to take another quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. We're live from London with Jana, and we are talking to Octavia Townes-L, who has quite a story. Her nephew, wrongfully convicted on the basis of hearsay, has been serving 9 years in prison. How do we get justice? We'll be right back after this quick break. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back after this quick break. So stay with us.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection. Female Solution, a radio TV show, invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday morning mindfulness with Zelda. Tuesdays, self-care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, repairing broken families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, soulful solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, health and well-being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
right, and we are back.
Okay. So I've got another caller on the line. Let's see who's on the line. Area code 963. Oh, no, not yet. Area code 773. Are you with us?
So there's 646, 773-366
okay.
is mine. I'll open the
all
mic.
Right, okay.
46963.
Hi, are you there? Welcome
area code,
to the show. Area code 646, welcome to the show.
Check your mute. Area code 646.
Okay, well, maybe this person has left the room or something. But
okay.
If you want to be on the show, put your hand down, put it up again, and I'll definitely see it. Thank you. 773? Who's on 773?
Yes, 773-366, that's my line.
All right, okay. So here's what I've got a question about, okay? Do you think most people are aware of how disproportionate the prison population is? Do you think most people are aware of that?
You know, I think that people don't know until it happens to someone in their family and they go to the prison and they see that the numbers are disproportionate. Now, when I went years ago when I was teaching class, at Cook County Jail, I was teaching a parenting class for the women inmates that were there because, you know, once you get, if you go to jail and you leave children at home and you don't have relatives step up and say, we'll take care of them, then the state takes the children. So
yeah.
I was helping these women get their children back. But actually, I mean, it is multiracial. It's not just like Bianca was saying. You know, it's not just black people. But there was, you know, blacks, whites, and Hispanics. But the common denominator was nobody had money to pay a good lawyer.
Right.
So
right.
When you can't pay somebody to get the evidence you need, if you have to either deal with a public defender or some lawyer who doesn't have a whole lot of respect among his colleagues, then that lawyer ends up doing a half job, and a lot of times they will try to get you to just plea bargain rather than them having to go through the work of getting evidence. Because in order to get evidence, you have to interview witnesses, like Octavia is talking about. You know, the lawyer had the sworn statements from people, but didn't present them in court. You have to, you're getting evidence from the scene, you know, crime lab evidence, all of these things. That means you have to have a staff of people that are working and getting evidence. And when you don't put that in motion, either because you don't have clients that are paying you enough to pay your staff to get the information, then you end up doing half a job or no job at all. So it really comes down to money.
This is it.
Everything.
A lot of it does. A lot of it comes down to money, I didn't know you had done that work, Naima, because I've done similar things as well. I taught a course for parents, and it was about making the educational institutions, in other words, the schools, it was about making them accountable, at least partly about making them accountable. It was called Supporting Children's Education. But interestingly, black parents didn't come to it. I don't know if they didn't know about it. I don't know what was going on, but black parents did not come to that course.
And they probably weren't told about it.
That could very well be. And I've also taught in a prison as well. I used to teach in a women's prison years ago. It's no longer standing now. They closed it a few years ago. But I used to teach writing. So we've got some overlap in our skills and experience, which I didn't know about before.
Yeah, and it's an interesting experience teaching in the prison system because they realize a lot of people are there simply because they didn't have access to some basic things like education and other opportunities. But one thing that happened, I taught at the jail, which is where people are at when they were awaiting trial. But now with Octavia's nephew who's in prison. All of these prisons are located so far away, members can't even get to them. So, Octavia, how often do you get a chance to even go and visit your nephew, Stephen Douglas?
I haven't missed a visit in 9 years since COVID came. When COVID came, it stopped a lot. So I've been fighting, trying to get him back before his mother passed away. And I presented doctor papers that she can't travel for 3 years. They will not give him a transfer out of our prison for nothing in the world. But now that she passed away, now all of a sudden they're saying he can get transferred. Oh, he can get transferred. She's gone. And I'm needing him an hour away instead of 8 hours away. Now she's gone.
Right. That's terrible. That's so cruel. That's really cruel.
The same judge that kept on telling us, continue. Just the same judge that freed them three officers. Well, it's the same with the Laquan McDonald case. The same judge had let them same officers acquitted them 2 months before you give Stephen Douglas Orlando Jr. 55 years to life with no parole, and my lawyer stood up in the court and said, Your Honor, absurd, that's absurd. She said, 55 is 45. She said, well, I'll say 55.
55 years?
Yeah. And you gave them three officers that was with that watched Van Dyke kill the guy, Laquan McDonald. You watched these three officers. Do you know the same judge 2 months before she sent to Stephen kept continuing our trial for these three officers, gave them acquitted, a pat on the back,
what was her reason for continuing the trial? I mean, was it to give the lawyers more time, or what did it need to be continued for?
She said continuing hours because my lawyer, the new lawyer, I had to hire a new lawyer. Mm-hmm. His name is James DeGrotto. Mm-hmm. After Frank Couture would not present and give our evidence in court at trial, the judge let us fire him after that. When the state said they rest, our first lawyer, Frank Couture, said he rest, the one that did not give our affidavits. He did not go to the crime scene. I, the one, went and collected all the affidavits. I did.
You did the work.
I did.
So you've done all this work. You have done all this work.
The second lawyer found out that the first lawyer was ineffective, all that. So when this judge told them three officers, they was acquitted that watched another officer, Van Dyke. She acquitted them. And then 2 months later, Stephen Fitzpatrick of life and never had no evidence but hearsay. Hearsay.
So, Jana, I know you may have heard about this, of course, you know, kind of famous course with case with Laquan McDonald, who was, 16, 17 years old?
I have not heard about this one, but to be honest, it breaks my heart. There's so many of these cases.
But everybody was able to see the video. You know, they played it over and over again. It was just horrifying by a police officer.
Oh,
no,
what's this
everybody's
one?
Asking how come his colleagues didn't stop him, you know, all of that.
Is this the one who had damage to his back? Is that the one?
Stephen got 55 years for the same judge, and the same judge acquitted these three officers.
So, Jana, you were asking a question again. What was that?
Yeah, I was asking, was that the same case where the young man had damage to his back?
Yes.
They filmed him. The officers were taking him out of the building or something, and he clearly had damage to his back. Is that the same one?
It might be, yeah, because he was basically, I think he was face down, and they were shooting him in the back.
Is a different one. This one was walking, but it was obvious he had some kind of spinal damage.
Another one. But
there's so many of these cases, and they happen all the time. And, sorry, it's been said that, you know, I remember when I interviewed Henry Bonsall years ago, who's a broadcaster in London, and he was saying what needs to happen is that the young people need to get out their phones and phone everything. Well, young people do phone everything, but the police are still killing people.
And from what I'm told,
back in the 60s, it was happening every day pretty much, so it was not reported in the news. It wasn't considered to be news. Now it's being reported in the news, but even though people have cameras and people are recording things on their phones, it still keeps happening.
Yes.
So what does this tell us? What does this tell us? How are we supposed to take this forward and improve things? Okay, I've got two callers. One of these might be you, Naima. No, I've got three. I've got two callers.
I think 646, we never heard from. I don't know if they are they back in the room now.
I think 646,
your mic is open.
We've got 963. Hi, welcome to the show, 963, area code 963. Are you with us? Okay, they've got their hand up, but they might have left the room or something. Okay, let's try 263. Area code 773. Does that sound familiar, anybody?
Okay, that was Rashida. Rashida, did you have another comment?
Yes, I do. We're having a professional fundraising to create some stability in our sustainability in our community. And we have guest speakers internationally on the 2nd and the 3rd of September. So I would like all vendors who are interested to phone me, and I could text them the information. So if you have a product that you want to vend, the vending is only $50, and it's coincidentally being at the college where I have to establish.
Rashida, you have to say where it's at because you're talking to an international audience. You got the people from London listening, and then, of course, you've got St. Louis on the line and 646. I think that's a New York number. So
we have speakers from London there as well,
okay.
So that's a good thing.
Well, who's coming? Who's coming from London?
I would like to unite with those people who are interested in seeing justice done in their community, don't care where they are. So
yes,
if I can have this contact.
And Rashida, who is coming from London?
One of our guest speakers, I don't know the name, but I do have the flyer, and I can present both of them to Naima, because I don't know them personally. But the American Islamic College, we have people attending and who have organized it from all over the world.
Okay.
I don't have any speakers there as well.
What date in September is this?
We're having September the 3rd, 2nd and 3rd,
and
then we're having
September
the 23rd through the 25th in Rosemont. So we have
I know there are a number of people who are organizing various pro-peace, you know, anti-gun, anti-violence kind of events. Was there a particular incident that was the motivating factor for this particular gathering that you're talking about, Rashida?
Well, this is part of the faith-based initiative. Charity is one of the faith-based outlines. So it's just that way. It's not where something had to happen bad for somebody to do something. It's just part of the way of life that we live. But
you know, the reason why I
had one this past Saturday at the Baja Center here in Chicago for unity and to come together to stop the violence, especially among our youth.
Right. Well,
I'm very interested in this.
I want to talk to you about this because the Blogging Carnival for Nonviolence is coming up. I'll have a word with you. I'll get your number from Naima if that's okay. But I want to have a word with
you.
I'll
give you her information, Jana, so she can hook into that. You know, one of the reasons why I asked that question is because there was an incident, and I'm trying to think if the young man was Palestinian. I think so. Or I'm not sure if he was Pakistani or Palestinian. Forgive me, I don't have the details. But
he was Pakistanian.
beat up pretty badly by police, and then
right.
and then after they, because they claimed that he had a bag, he was carrying a bag, and they said that there
right.
was probably a gun in the bag, and so they wrestled him to the ground, they beat him up, and then after they beat him up badly and put him in the hospital, then they took him out of the hospital and put him into juvenile detention. So
oh my
the
God.
Governor was very angry and upset, and had a press conference, I think, a couple of days ago, and so we see it's not just us that gets brutalized, that gets wrongfully jailed and imprisoned. It's a culture
it's
of abuse that we've allowed to happen. It is not just white police that do it to black people, because you have black police that are doing it also. And
Mary,
it's the idea that you have the power to abuse someone and then lie about it, and and then the criminal justice system backs you up by jailing people knowing that they're innocent. So I think
See,
the question you asked earlier, Madonna, was what kind of things can we do to stop this? Because
this
it's happening globally.
This is why I call it the injustice system, because that's what it is, it's an injustice system. I don't know if you heard about John Charles de Menezes, who was Brazilian. And they said that they were following this guy who was a suspected terrorist, who was an Asian, I think Pakistani or something. And they ended up shooting John Charles Menezes, who was sitting on a tube train, minding his own business. They said he was acting suspiciously. He wasn't. They said he jumped over the turnstile. He didn't. And they just went to this tube train, and they shot him dead. And you see, because he looked like he might be a little bit black,
wow.
You know, he looked like he might have a little slightly darker complexion than white people. He was Brazilian, but he probably had African blood, because there's a lot of black people in Brazil.
Yeah.
Brazil has got one of the biggest black populations of anywhere in the world, including in Africa. Right? So he probably looked sort of slightly black. They assumed that he was black. And they shot him and they lied about it.
Yes. So that's the thing. How do you deal with the lying? So, Octavia, what is the state of the case right now? You have a new lawyer and new evidence. Will the justice system allow?
Let me show you how bogus the system is. Now, the new lawyer I have, now, he wrote the appeal. We are waiting. Our case is now in the hands of the state of Illinois, the Supreme of Illinois. The first lawyer, everything Frank Couture wrote up, all was lies. He didn't even give our witnesses on the stand. And we kept trying to tell him to go get a certain guy that the allegedly person that lied on Stephen. We kept telling him, go get the guy at his job, but Frank never will go get him. Come to find out, the investigator that I hired a couple of months ago went and talked to this young man. It's a third young man that the detective tries to make him come and lie on Stephen too. But thank God that his supervisor said that he was on the clock that day and he wouldn't lie on Stephen. It was a third one they tried to get to come and lie on Stephen. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So now the appellate court judge is here in Chicago, Illinois, has the audacity to deny Stephen. So now in the Supreme of Illinois' hands right now. So I'm just praying that all we have. I know everybody call it God, create a different name, but I chose to call mine Allah, because that's what works for me. And it's only one God and one Jesus, and I love both of them. And that's what my favor, my faith, will not give in and give up. Michelle Harvin died out there on that line with me. She, in her chair, she couldn't walk. She made it to Rainbow Push May the 8th or the 9th,
yeah.
The day before Mother's Day this year.
Yeah.
And I think she was so sick. And when she walked in there, got pushed in Rainbow Push, I just broke down screaming and crying. And they let me leave Rainbow Push because she couldn't get interviewed. And I rushed her to Rush Hospital, and she caught an infection. So they let her out 2 days later, And 2 days after that, she went got rushed back to a hospital called St. Bernard, and that's where she died at.
Mm.
Got into her blood. They said infection got into her blood. They rushed her.
And it killed her. That's
and now
she's
gone. And that's a four-year-old baby. So, I mean, we got so much proof from the investigator, everybody that Stephen been innocent from day one. We just need for him to be released. I don't have the finance, but I got the glory of God. I have faith. I'm obedient. I'm all of that. I'm all of that. But I
that's
don't
fine.
Have
okay. I want to let a couple of my callers in because I've got a couple of people with their hands up, and some of them have been waiting quite a long time while we've been talking. So I want to let in my callers. I've got a caller from area code 314. Are you there? Welcome
yeah.
to the show.
You
are
know,
you, there?
You guys was talking about McDonald and Van Dyke. Van Dyke needs to be in prison for a long time right now.
Oh, yeah.
What he done, he did murder that kid. And actually, the police standing around him should have shot Van Dyke for what he was doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's another thing. This country, you have close to 1 million blacks in prison. And at the same time, this country is letting in illegals by the millions. That needs to stop. And not only blacks, but let's talk about them. All money that's being given to places like the Ukraine and so on, that money should go toward the rehabilitation of these people that's in prison so as they can be qualified for these jobs and other opportunities that you're allowing these illegals to come into the country and take. It don't make sense to have a prison population like what the United States has. And at the same time, you're letting people in unfettered across that border.
Mm-hmm,
and, Naima, you know, one time I spoke to Danny Davis on your show and asked him about that. And his reply was, there's room for everybody. That was so, so sad. And I feel sorry for the lady. And that's the only thing I can do, ma'am. I don't know what else I can do. Yes, there's corruption in the police department. Corruption in your prosecutors, corruption in your court system. I don't know what to tell you to do, but do what you're doing. It's a sad story, but at the same time, it's a reality.
That was my faith.
Yes. Well, you know, Pianki, when Congressman Davis said there's room for everybody, and a lot of people were upset because they felt like, but these foreigners are taking our jobs. But most of the people that everybody's upset about, the people coming from the various Spanish-speaking countries, the kind of jobs they have, like fruit pickers and all of that, nobody's trying to get those jobs. I mean,
that's right. Those are jobs that we don't want. Yeah, those are not the jobs that we want.
They were taking the jobs we had back in slavery, but they're not taking jobs that we want that we're going after right now. So, yeah, there's always room
you got
for people
in prison,
to take menial jobs because nobody wants
them. If you got people in prison, they need to come out and take whatever they can have. It sure in the heck is better than prison. That's what
well,
I'm getting
now, what's happening with prison, so you have the low-paid wages of the immigrants, and then you have the no-paid wages of the prison population.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's right.
Each group is just one step away from slavery. It comes down to both groups being exploited by those who want to keep making money and not
right.
pay honest wages. So
that's, right. this
that's,
is the,
that's
thing.
The underlying
this is
motivation
the system.
For a lot of these false
and
convictions.
Then,
the more people
and
you
then
have,
this foreign aid,
the less money
this
you have to
foreign
pay.
Aid, this foreign aid needs to go toward training and rehabilitate.
Well, I
before
think
you
that,
send one penny to
like,
a foreign country, you need to take care of your own.
I think you definitely have a point, but, you know, it's in the interest of the people who own the prisons, and remember, some of them are privatized now as well. It's in their interest to have a big prison population, which they can continue to exploit because it's profitable for them, right? They don't want to train people up. They don't want to give people education to give them better opportunities. They want to keep them right where they are because it's profitable for them.
Well, you know what? What's a contradiction? And we got to take a break after this. But you do have a lot of people who get training in prison, and they're able to work skilled jobs, but they can't get hired by those same corporations when they get released because they got a prison record. But they have the skills because they were doing the work while they were in prison. They just weren't getting paid the wages of people who do the work outside of prison.
Right.
So it's all a racket.
We're going to
take one last break, Donna. We're going
to
take a last break.
Okay.
And, we'll
and I've got another caller calling in as well. So when we come back, sorry you've been on hold for so long, but when we come back, you'll be given the chance to speak.
All right. We're going to come back and open the mic for 646-963. If you're available, please unmute your phone. We'll be right back after this last break. So we want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature, so Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products. And they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Tax are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and Move Around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
All right, we are back.
Okay, so let's see who's on the line. We've got area code 646. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, area code 646. Who's calling, please?
Your mic is open. Check your mute on your phone. Area code 646.
Hi. Hi, are you with us? Welcome to the show. Hi, can you hear us?
They must have stepped away.
Okay, because we've got three people with their hands up now. Who all of you in the host queue, and we've got, I think, at least three. Yeah, we've got three people. Four people. I've got four people. If you've got your hands up, well, one of them is me, so ignore that. But for the rest of the rest
and
of you, if you've got something to say, please share.
But I do have
please
a question
share.
Also I wanted to ask Octavia, because I know a lot of times when people are trying to find a lawyer, one of the biggest deterrents is that, you know, they'll ask for, you know, a rather large retainer. So in the beginning, when the first lawyer that you hired, Octavia, that you know, asked for the $20,000, did you have to pay him up front or did you pay him in installments?
Every two weeks, I went downtown, Chicago, 17 North Wall Bass, and took him $500 every 2 weeks until I paid the $20,000 off.
And now, did he ever say what he was doing for the $20,000? Did he ever give you like a list? Did he say what all he had to do?
He was saying, me and Steven asked him, did he have like somebody to help him, like the investigator?
Right, that's what he would have needed.
Steven kept giving me questions to ask him because he never would even go visit Steven. And so I gave him twice out of 4 years Steven was in there. He was in there five. In Cook County.
Mm-hmm.
And Steven said, well, can he come and see me? I had to give him $100 twice. He wanted to see him out of 5 years.
So when Steven was in Cook County, that's where you go before your trial. So he did 5 years before he even went to trial?
Yeah.
Boy, that's awful.
Gosh.
Yeah. At Cook County.
That's awful.
At Cook County.
And that
that's,
you know,
awful.
And I don't know how it is in London, Jana, but here that's one of the biggest things. You can end up in jail for 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, just trying to raise
the
money.
Never go to trial
because
they keep continuing your case. So, you know, for whatever reason, they'll, you know, either the defense isn't ready, the prosecution isn't ready, whatever it is, you know, the judge will continue your case.
Mm.
And, you know, if you don't have the money to make bail, you'll stay in there because sometimes it's just a matter of
you're just sitting there. You're just sitting there and rotting in prison.
Like if it's a murder charge, then they won't allow you to get out on bail. So you have a lot of people that have been accused of violent crimes that may be innocent, but they're not allowed to get out on bail. So if you have a lawyer,
so they're stuck inside. And
case
the prison
in time,
culture.
Then you just keep sitting in jail waiting for your lawyer to get ready, and that's how people end up doing 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years in jail and haven't even been to trial yet.
It's disgraceful. It really is. I've got a question for you, Octavia.
She's got a question for you, Octavia. Go ahead, Jana.
Octavia, my question is, so can you give us some ideas of like how something like this could be prevented? Because a lot of us are going to find ourselves in
like
similar
this,
situations.
You know, how do you prevent somebody from going to jail?
Well, you go to bed at night and you say your prayer, and then you wake up the next morning and there goes Satan right there with a bunch of lies on you.
So how do you prevent this kind of situation? What do you do?
I mean, it's no way around. It's life.
Well, you know, one thing I would suggest, because I mean,
but
there are a lot of
prayed up.
Yeah, you definitely got to pray.
You got to stay prayed up and keep them prayers and them clauses. Don't be ashamed to speak His name and glorify His name everywhere you go. Why you think I'm so strong? I'm the only one still strong in this family that everybody
okay, well,
gave, gave in.
You are very strong.
What?
And you're very strong and you've been through a lot. Helping you. I'm talking about results, right? I'm glad that you've got such a strong faith, and I'm glad that it's sustained you for, what is it, 8 or 9 years now? Your faith has sustained you, so well done for that. But what are you actually doing, and what are you getting help with in terms of getting the results that you want, getting the outcome that you want, getting your nephew free?
Mm. What did you say, Miss Dane?
Well, you know, she said, basically, are you getting results from your prayers? Yeah, you pray and you work.
Well, my results from my prayers have been, man, I just pray that the Creator, Almighty Yah, send me Miss Naima. Do you know the very next day, Miss Naima called my line out of 1 year? I say, come on, Allah. Come on, Yah.
Okay,
come
so your prayer was answered.
So this is one big result. When Miss Naima called me out of 1 year, I know.
Okay.
So now the next thing is, your quest is that your nephew will have his case heard by the Supreme Court, because that's where it is now, right? It's been taken to the Supreme Court.
It's in the Supreme
of Illinois.
Okay. And our lawyer is saying, our new lawyer saying they can deny us too. I said, wait a minute now, come on now.
So the next prayer is that the Supreme Court hear the case. So you got all this. You have a public record of everything that you're saying happened. It's now on the internet. This means it's all over the world. They know exactly what happened, exactly what your first lawyer didn't do in presenting the evidence. And the fact that the Court of Appeals denied you an appeal, so now everybody in the world knows that the case is before the Supreme Court of Illinois. So
check this out, Miss Amos. Right before Stephen Mama died, I got a video.
Mm-hmm.
The judge said in the courtroom, I would deny him when our first lawyer, well, not the first one, the second one, James DeGrado, said, Your Honor, 55 years? That's absurd. It's 45 for life. She said, well, I'm giving him 55. And then she said, and if he come back in front of me for appeal, I deny that too. So all of a sudden, his appeal just got denied when she made that statement in the courtroom.
That sounds
back
like,
then,
sounds
way
perfect.
Back then, and
that
why he just got denied. Now when the Supreme denied him again, come on now, they got to be some cousins. They got to be married. Because I'm not afraid and I'm not scared of none of them. I'm not afraid of nobody on this world coming for me or after me, but the Holy Spirit, the Heavenly Father, I'm going to, baby, I'm not afraid. I'm not scared. She told that us in the courtroom, when Stephen come back in front of appeal, I deny him again. And my lawyer said, what you say, young? Yes, it was deep. Stephen mama broke out crying and screaming and said, no, she didn't say she'll deny my son.
That sounds.
So our new lawyer saying that we going to have to go back in front of her again. I said, no, we not. Because I'm going to put it in the Almighty Yah hands. It's in the Creator hands. It's in the Almighty Yah hands.
So now she was in the Court of Appeals, but now if you go before the Supreme Court, that's another group of justices. And, you know, we just had an election. So one thing, Jana, you know, when we say what can we do to prevent this, we can remove all the known corrupt judges off the bench. And that means paying attention when you go to court. Get the name of the judge, and if that judge has a history of unfair decisions, you can organize to get them removed, just like people get organized to get elected. You can organize to get somebody unelected. We got the internet. You got all kinds of ways you can put out someone's name.
Well, why would you speak this in the court, and then 2 years later he get his first appeal to court, and then 89?
Well, because that judge... basically, it's got to be an illegal thing for a judge to even say.
He sure got denied.
But you see, what I'm more interested in is prevention, preventing it from getting to that point in the first place. I mean,
I think people should.
Organizing to get people unelected, that's fine, and I'm sure that works. I'm sure it works. It's a good thing to be able to do, but I'm thinking even before that, is there something we can prevent this? Something we can do to prevent this from happening.
There has to be a way that people get to good legal help even before. First of all, you know, one thing you said, how do you prevent it? When police say we're calling you in to question, you're not compelled to go in anywhere. If they don't have a warrant for your arrest, they cannot compel you to go and be questioned about anything. Because that has happened to a lot of people.
It's the first time this happened to us.
You weren't thinking. So I think the way you prevent it, Jana, is to make sure that people are educated on their rights. The police cannot search your car if you don't consent. They cannot take you to be questioned if you don't consent. And I always say the most powerful thing you have, they have their body cams. You got Facebook Live on your phone. Make sure if anybody stops you or comes to you or any police comes to your home, make sure you record it live on your phone so that the world is watching what's happening as it's happening. They can't lose the tape afterwards like they do with body cams. They can't lose the sound all of a sudden like they do with body cams. When you have this is a weapon that verifies exactly what happens. And any time you have an encounter with the law, record it on your phone live on Facebook and make sure that they know that they're being recorded and that you know your rights and you don't consent to them searching your car. And they can't make you get out. They can threaten you, but that's illegal, and you can show it. They can't make you come down for questioning. If they don't have a warrant for your arrest, they cannot make you come in for questioning, because that's another way that they get people to get to the station. Then you're by yourself. Then either you're tortured into a confession or beaten into a confession, or there's a line saying
if they're going to question you whether or not they have a warrant, you need to make sure you got a lawyer in there with you, right? If they're going to question you,
hold on a second. People talking at once. Wait, hold on. Jana was saying something, and then Octavia was saying something. So, Jana, repeat what you were saying.
I was saying when they call you in, whether or not they have a warrant, make sure if you go in for questioning, you got a lawyer by your side. You don't go in there on your own. You make sure you got a lawyer by your side.
That's another thing. Never speak to any legal official
without your lawyer present. Because a lot of times they don't, they're supposed to be reading you your right to remain silent. They don't do that. They just lie. They say, oh, we just want to question you. And then you don't have a lawyer present. You don't know you're supposed to have a lawyer present. And so that's when all these things happen. Next thing you know, you're behind bars and you're saying, wait a minute, I didn't do anything. So, Octavia, you were saying something? Wait a minute, you got a sound distortion. There you go.
Could you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now. Go ahead.
That the judge let acquitted. She let go home. Come to find out, one of them was her colleague. We found out. And they seen, okay, I want to know the difference. If these three officers see Van Dyke take a life of a boy shot him 16 times, and y'all witness it, and y'all get acquitted and go home to that first degree murder, but Stephen Douglas never once was around. The guys was her colleague, one of the officers that's why she put it all three on their thing. One of them was her colleague.
Well, you know, that's another thing, and John, I don't know, again, that's probably the same thing that happens there as well, but a lot of people are longtime friends. They work together. They got each other's back. So their interest isn't necessarily justice for us or those who have been wrongfully accused. They're all trying to help each other get promotions for jobs, so sometimes, you know, a district attorney might be trying to get a promotion. You know, somebody's trying to win a case. So everybody will agree to help that person win, even if they're framing somebody who's innocent. And that has happened so many times. So what has to happen is that there really needs to be people in positions of authority who are honest.
Even I'm calling fashion, and yeah, his arm. He done called a fashion in his arm so bad. Now he nervous, thinking because his mom called infection and just got her blood cells and just died like that. Now he in there with infection so bad in his arm, so now they trying to get him some help. I say, boy,
you know, that's
boy,
another thing. There's not a whole lot of health care in the prison. Yeah, I think your sound is a little distorted sometimes. But now, I think because this is a global situation, it really comes down to human ethics. As a human being, are you operating according to a code of ethical conduct or are you not? So we have to be able to judge people before we put them in a position where they have authority and they have the responsibility to administer justice. We have to have, collectively, we have to have a spirit of discernment so we can know when people are honest or dishonest. But as far as how do you prevent abuse, you have to know your rights, and then you have to expose people by making sure you videotape any encounter so they cannot deny it if they're trying to mistreat you. But then another thing I would say, never be alone. If you are alone, make sure you keep your phone charged. Make sure you have Facebook Live ready to hit on a button. Because if you have to be able to show the world that you have been abused, you have been wrongfully detained, or someone has tried to search your car, don't let people search your car and you're not there watching them search your car because they can plant something in your car. If you're sitting in your car and they say, oh, we're going to search your trunk. Yeah, you know, make sure you're there watching everything they do so nobody plants something on you, whether it's drugs or a weapon, because that happens too. But as far as prevention, Jana, I think that we can't live in fear and we can't feel like victims. We do have to form alliances because sometimes it is a matter of making sure we get good legal counsel
And sometimes it costs, but you have to make sure if you're paying somebody that you're paying somebody that's helping you and not just taking your money, because that happens as well. And maybe those who have had bad experiences can put out on social media the names of people who are corrupt and should not be trusted. Because, you know, what's somebody going to do? If you say, look, this person, this is what happened. We hired this person. They did nothing. And they caused our loved one to be convicted. So that's the power of social media. It's run by the people. And the people have the power to expose wrongdoing. They have the power to expose corruption. They have the power to name names. And that's, I think, part of what we should do to prevent those who are taking advantage of their position from being able to abuse their authority. So that's my thought. Expose people. Use the media. Use the social media. Use the internet to tell the world when people do you wrong, and that'll put pressure on them to stop. So, Jana, are there any things that people have done in England that have maybe led to some kind of stopping of the corruption? Uh-oh. John, are you there? Check your mute. Zana, we can't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, we hear you now, yes. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Yes.
I think I hit mute by mistake. Yeah, I will tell you the story. I was going to tell you it, but we're kind of out of time. But the short version, there was this enormous pedophile ring in the north of England, and the police were doing nothing. And, you know, there were social workers, there were different people who were saying you need to prosecute these men or you need to investigate them. They were mostly Asian. All of them were Asian, actually. I think they're mostly from Pakistan, and one was from Bangladesh. And they were preying on these white English girls, young girls, like 13, that kind of age, 13, 14. And the police didn't want to do anything about it because they were afraid of being accused of being racist. And these girls were being put through hell. I'll tell you the whole story, not right now, but, you know, Eventually it got addressed, but, I mean, it went on for a very long time. It's still going on now because it started in this one little town. The investigation started in this one little town. But actually, this same pedophile ring is working all over Britain, right? In all the big cities and small towns, this is the same pedophile ring. And it's really shocking, but it's been going on for years.
Yes. Well, we all need to get together and speak out against it and expose it.
Yeah. Definitely. Some of the men were convicted. I think there's five of them who were convicted. But, you know, this pedophile ring spread all over the country.
Wow.
So it's still going on.
Wow.
It's horrendous. It is horrendous. But I do think that there are things that we can do to protect ourselves using energy. This is what I mostly use is energy methods. And I work with the angels a lot more, and I'm about to bring out my new book about angels, but we'll talk about that soon.
We'll talk about it. Well, it's time to go now, but we definitely want to make sure that you stay connected. Join us again tomorrow, and, of course, thank you to our guests. We appreciate you. We're going to make sure that you can get this link to whoever you need to help you work this case, so they know that you have told your story to the world. So we thank you so much, Octavia Towns.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
I'm glad to all
That's right. Well, hold on to your poop and get ready to present it before the Illinois Supreme Court. And we're going to pray that you win this round.
We've come to the end of our show today. but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/